Ag Policy Conference Committee back into session. And welcome back, everybody. Good to be here again. We left off and we had a motion on the floor and we need to attend to that. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I will withdraw my motion at this point in time on the 828 amendment. I know there's a few questions yet that need to be answered. So at this moment, I will withdraw my motion.
All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Passed. Let's move on down our list then, and we will take on the House provision language pertaining to the Steele and Wadena bonding proposal. Who would care to address that? Representative Swazinski? Care to comment? It's the Steele and Wadena County bonding.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
I can speak to that, okay. I believe. Sure. This was Representative Kapp brought this forward on the House floor. We had a debate on this. This was asking for the authority to be able to bond. There was a couple fairs or fairgrounds that had storm damage, and they're wanting to repair that. And maybe Representative Eakin would be able to shed some light on that if I'm missing anything. And they just needed the authority to be able to bond to do those repairs to the fairgrounds, and that's why they came to us.
So no cost to the state, it would be allowing them to bond.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Any questions on that House language amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'd move to accept the House language on that.
Okay. Senator Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did talk to Senator Perry for Steele County, and I did talk to Senator Engelbretson with Wadena, and they both indicated support for that, and and so I would encourage support for Senator Dames' motion.
Motion by Senator Dames. All in favor, say aye.
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 And opposed? Motion passed. Thank you. Can we do some of these repealers?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take on some of these repealers next, and I'm going to call on Colby to kind of walk us through those and exactly what to do. It's on page R42 of your side-by-side. Colby Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. On R42, the item that shows up on the issues table that everyone has before them under repealers, the Senate has two additional sections in their repealer that have to do with the Board of Animal Health and a local rabies proclamation. If I may, I'd just ask Mr. Knopf if you would speak to the two sections that just appear in the Senate bill.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair and members, the additional two repealers here were brought to us by the Board of Animal Health. Apparently, they don't use these anymore. Ms. Gauthier is here. If you want, she could come up and speak to the reasons that they were asking for the repeal of these two provisions. We have some other Board of Animal Health provisions similar to the House, and these were two additional ones that they asked Senator Magnus to carry as part of the bill. And so that's what these are, and they were requested by the Board of Animal Health.
Is Dr. Hartman here?
You sure?
Yep.
Welcome, sir, and could you explain to us the reasoning for these two repealers? State your name, please, for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Bill Hartman. I'm the Executive Director of the Board of Animal Health. And indeed, we did recommend the repeal of these statutes. I've been at the board 24 years now, and we've never used them. What the statutes would do is allow either the Board of Animal Health or a Board of Health to make a proclamation for a city or a town so that if there was rampant rabies in dogs there, dogs couldn't be unleashed, and or if they were unleashed, they'd have to be muzzled. Now, I'm not sure why these statutes are there. They probably were there because there was a lot more difficulty with rabies at the time. Right now, we're not experiencing that. We haven't experienced it during the time I've been there, the 24 years. So we don't think we need the statutes. We're just trying to clean up Chapter 35, but we're open to if there's any discussion on it.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor.
Sure.
Any further discussion or questions on that portion of statute?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make the motion then to accept the Senate language as it deals with repealers.
Okay, R42, the motion by Chair Hamilton to accept the Senate language. All in favor? Senator Skoy, sorry.
Well, Mr. Chair, I wonder if we might not want to have a little more review on this. This certainly isn't anything that would have to be done this year. We had a little confusion just recently as we talked about this, so I was wondering if we might not be better off taking the House language on the repealers. It's only those two provisions that are different and kind of in the odd place of speaking against our Senate language, but if the House wants to move their provisions, I will be voting with them.
Mr. Chairman, I will withdraw my motion and leave it up to the group.
Mr. Sullivan.
Just have a technical note on that. The House has one of the three sections in its repealer as well. It has 35.67. The Senate has that as well as 6.8 and 6.9, and the three work together as a whole. They refer to one another. So I think to put off the repealer for this year, actually you'd want to remove 35.67 from the House repealer as well and then adopt that.
Is that your motion, Mr.
I would move that.
So we have one resolution that's withdrawn and a motion by Senator Skoy to not accept any of this language. Is that correct, Senator?
That would be my intent on this, is to not accept these repealers at this time. We need to have a further a committee time spent on this, I think.
Okay. Any further discussion?
So his motion, Mr. Chairman, would be to take the House language with that provision removed?
Minus
is that your motion, Senator?
Minus that repealer that Mr. Sullivan was talking about.
So we would have no language then, correct? Right. Mr. Sullivan.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, just to clarify, that is what I had said the motion would be, but I don't know if the conference committee members are ready to adopt one repealer section or the other, because the Senate has some other different provisions within their repealer. This is a portion of the differences. It's a significant one that Mr. Knopf and I raised, but there are some others that are different.
Mr. Knopf.
Chair, Mr. Sullivan, those others, though, are encompassed within other sections in this comparison, and so we'll be dealing with those on a piecemeal basis. Otherwise, they're the same. How I see this motion is just to say, just to remove any reference to repealing 35.67, 35.68, and 35.69. That's what I would do at this point in time, not necessarily adopt repealers, but just make sure that you're removing those from any consideration in the repeal in the section.
So that's clarification on that motion by the senator. Any further discussion or comment from members of the audience? Ms. Gauthier, would you care to address the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture. As I understand it, Mr. Chairman, just removal of references to 35.67, 35.68, and 35.69 is fine with us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification. Are we all clear on the motion now by the senator to remove those three sections of repealer? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Thank you. Again, we're still talking repealers and amendments. Mr. Sullivan, could you walk us through that one, too, on the enforcement authority for dairy?
Yes, Mr. Chair, the next item on the list is the enforcement authority for dairy. When I walked through the side-by-side this morning, that was the correction, actually, that Mr. Knopf spoke about. I think it's also my understanding that the department's proposed new Chapter 34A, food safety, does not apply to Chapter 32, dairy. So you'll see on page 43 of the side-by-side, Senate-only language, the House repeals that section, which may then eliminate the department's authority to enforce Chapter 32. So the Senate instead made a change and to Section 17.984 in Minnesota statutes to say that the commissioner still has enforcement for Chapter 32. I don't know if I've characterized that properly, but in my understanding, then the Senate seems position is better.
Mr. Knopf, any further?
No, Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Sullivan characterized it very well.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would move we take the Senate position on that. I think we need to have the department be able to administer Chapter 32. So I would move the Senate position.
Motion by Chair Magnus to accept the Senate language in this particular section. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Motion carried. Next, we go into commercial feed definitions and R43 through 46 and up to 60 through 61. And who would care to comment on this?
Mr. Chairman?
Chair Hamilton?
Mr. Sullivan or whatnot, did we not address all this with the earlier motion on the commercial feed side or not? No, we did not? Okay.
Mr. Sullivan.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Chair and Representative Hamilton, the conference committee earlier addressed the tonnage fee exemption for the certain portion of the commercial feed. So now this is actually a separate issue dealing with the definitions and the food safety and whether they apply to commercial feed or not.
Okay. And leaving commercial feed separately in its own chapter. Yes. And I believe the Senate language was more comfortable with the committee members. Would there be a motion to accept the Senate language on this particular section?
Mr. Chair, I'll move to accept the Senate language.
Thanks, Senator Dames. Motion to accept the Senate language on the commercial feed definitions. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Next, we have a House provision, a fairly small provision, on the extension of the Food Safety and Defense Task Force. Chair Hamilton, you want to discuss that for us? On R47.
Mr. Sullivan, can you offer up clarification on that,
please? Mr. Chair and Representative Hamilton, the House position that's from the department's recommendation, that's to extend the Food Safety and Defense Task Force for another 5 years. I believe Mr. Knopf said this morning, or it's my understanding, that the Senate doesn't have that provision, not because the Senate was opposed to it, but because they didn't have an opportunity to get to GovOps and have that committee review this.
State Gov, yeah.
Okay.
That's correct, Mr. Okay. Chairman.
Thanks, Mr. Sullivan, and also Chair Magnus. So, again, the House language reads that would extend to June 30th of 2017. Currently, it's to expire June 30th of this year. So it's a five-year extension. It's the House language of the Food Safety, Defense, and Task Force. All in favor of the...
Mr. Chair, I'll move that provision.
Okay, thank you, Senator. All in favor of the Senator's motion to accept the House language, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Now we have language on the criminal actions for the Commissioner of Ag as it pertains to reporting of violations. And again, Mr. Knopf or Mr. Sullivan, can you lead us through that one?
Mr. Chair. Sullivan. Thank you. Mr. Chair and conference committee members, this is on R61 towards the bottom. Criminal actions, subdivision 3 on the House side, subdivision 5 on the Senate. The House has the department's recommended language that says, essentially, if the department reports a purported food safety violation to the county attorney or a city attorney to institute an appropriate proceeding, that the House language says that the local unit of government shall institute appropriate proceedings without delay. On the Senate side, you'll see on 55.24 towards the end of that line, the Senate changed that to direct the local units of government to consider instituting an appropriate proceeding if the department alleges a food safety violation.
Thank you. Does the department care to comment on which language they would prefer? The old may or shall verbiage again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greta Gothier, Department of Ag. Mr. Chairman and members of the conference committee, it's the opinion of the Department of Agriculture's Council that essentially the meaning is the same, so we have no preference.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
So that leaves us in a quandary. So we have the House language that says requiring action by the local law enforcement, and the Senate side saying it requests action. Representative Swedzinski.
Yes, I move to accept the Senate language.
A motion's been made to accept the Senate language that requests action by local law enforcement or county attorney. Any further discussion to that?
I would just say, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Magnus.
This is something that got quite a bit of discussion in the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, and these this is a language that came out of there. So they would appreciate Representative Swedzinski's motion.
Okay. Wise choice, Representative.
Thank you.
Okay. Say did you flip a coin or did you really?
I appreciate may rather shall on occasion.
Okay. So the motion is to accept the Senate language that says that they would request local proceedings. All in favor of that Swedzinski motion, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign?
No.
Motion carried. Your name is hard to say when you get a dry mouth, let me tell you that.
We had ice cream, Mr. Chair, that could have helped with that.
Okay, we have one more repealer before we get back to the fun ones. A repealer of Article 2, and again, Mr. Sullivan, Health Facility.
Mr. Chair and members of the Conference Committee, on the repealer for the Food Safety Article 2, the House has five additional sections that were requested by the Department of Agriculture. They deal with authority to enforce butter labeling laws, milk and cream buyer and testing licenses, penalties for violations of Chapter 32, and my understanding then that the Senate doesn't have those provisions because they made the change to say the department still has existing authority in statute to enforce Chapter 32 dairy products separate from the new food safety chapter.
Mr. Knopf.
And Mr. Chair, that was actually an initiative I would talk to Senator Magnus about on the Senate side. I think it was a leftover when the department was working on this bill. At one point, dairy was included, and then it was removed. And as my understanding is, these sections should still exist. Like if you, especially the last one, you get rid of the general misdemeanor penalty for dairy law violations. It's my understanding that there would be no misdemeanor penalty for dairy violations without that. And I think it was just an error that they were kept in. And I talked to Senator Magnus about removing those provisions, that we shouldn't be affecting the dairy law in this, since the dairy law is not included in this new chapter except for the definitions.
So are we saying that we should leave them in?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the department okay with that? Okay. So we will not act on the Article 2 repealer then. Thank you.
Okay. Very good.
Now we're back to, we have Chair Hamilton.
Did we do, Mr. Chairman, did we do the differences on page R34 between the electronic scale and electronic grain tickets? We address that?
So. No, we haven't done that yet, and the reason being, in talking with Mr. Sullivan over the noon break, there are several smaller pieces in the language that we all more or less agreed to.
Okay.
So there's a couple of word changes that we're going to have to do, so we thought we could do those all at the same time. Was that correct, Mr. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair, yes, that's what I had considered. I thought that would make sense to go through some of the smaller changes. Then after, this is the list of the big significant changes, okay. And there are some other smaller ones. But it might not be worth the Conference Committee's time to look at differences in phrasing. Here there's a term that's different, yeah. That might be worth considering, but otherwise there are lots of shalls. I mean, not shalls versus mays, but just minor changes that are technical in nature.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, I would recommend on those minor ones that you just leave that to staff, if you don't mind, on some of those. I don't think you want to spend your time on commas and things like that.
Yeah. But we may want to change the wording in the scale ticket, correct? Yes. I think one side says scale ticket, one side says grain ticket. You want to make a motion, Representative Hamilton?
Mr. Chair, the reason I bring that up is I was stopped in the hall and talked mm-hmm. about that. So maybe someone from the department would just like to comment on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Hamilton, the department would prefer the word scale, which is part of the House language there on line 29.9, section 53, House language, line 29.9. at the very end where it says electronic scale. The Senate language says electronic grain. I did speak with the grain and the industry representative this morning, who indicated scale was the word that they would like, and spoke with our director of plant protection and also indicated scale is the language we prefer.
Okay. Mr. Knopf, is that okay with that? Okay.
Mr. Chair, you may want to take a vote on that one, but I think we were just carrying the department's language. You must have changed this in the House at some point, because I don't think we changed it in the Senate to green.
Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair and members, my recollection is that this was added to the department's language via an amendment, an oral amendment in the House Agriculture Committee.
Yeah.
And we used the wording scale at that point, the author did, to match the terminology used throughout the rest of Subdivision 2.
Yep. Yep. Mr. Chair, that was my point. It was we just carried the department language, and you guys actually fixed it up. And
Senator Skoy.
Sure. I'll move the House language using the terminology scale as opposed to weight ticket grain ticket or whatever it was.
All in favor of the Senator's motion to use the House language in the word scale? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Okay, going back to some of the earlier ones that we left till we had more time to discuss them. Senator Skoy.
Oh, thank you. Well, members, I have an amendment dealing with the E20 extension. It's lines R38, R39, and or pages R38, 39, and 42. And the House doesn't have any language here, so we've kind of felt like we've been negotiating with ourselves on this. But I understand there is some consensus that has been developed around what we're going to do with the ethanol extension. I understand that we have to do a date extension or the it will expire on August 30th of 2013. So we do need to move forward on this. And with that, I would offer the A7 amendment to R38, R39, and R42. And so I don't know if that's passed out or what that is, but
I think
essentially
we do all have copies.
Essentially what that does is it gives a 3-year or a 2-year instead of a 1-year extension. We're moving. I lost my dates here.
It's R38 is where we're
up here. We're moving from the Senate was extending it from 2013 to 2014. We're extending that to 2015. And then the other 2012, we're extending to 2014 from 2013. So we're also going to ask that the Next Gen board put together a group of representatives from the industry to take a look at this and make recommendations to the legislature, because Minnesota's always been a leader in renewable fuels and biofuels, and we want to maintain that, and we want to make sure that if there are new emerging fuels that are out and about being produced in the state, that they can be sold in the state. So we've got the Next Gen board working on that and going to have some stakeholders get together and make some recommendations to us.
Thank you, Senator Skoy. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Skoy, for getting the parties together and finding and working on this as well. I understand that this is something that everybody can support, I believe. I know I visited with Representative Eakin as well, and so once again, thank you for bringing this forward.
Just a question I had, would this be in addition to the working group, in addition to lines 36.9 to 36.16, that the biodiesel task force would meet separately then after getting a recommendation here?
Mr. Chair, this is a separate group.
Okay.
We thought that the expertise would be different on this group than with the biodiesel group, so we would be looking for a different group getting together.
Very good idea. Thank you for that. Anybody in the audience care to testify on the amendment, if you've seen it and have had a chance to look it over? And if there's no opposition, no testimony, we assume that there is no opposition to it. I see some head shaking. Senator Magnus.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senator Scoy, for the amendment. Mr. Chairman, Chairman Hamilton and I and the stakeholders and a lot of folks around the table here have been working diligently on this. I really appreciate the stakeholders, the department, the governor's staff, all the work everyone's done on this to come to an agreement that is reasonable and respectful,
yep.
and yet responsible to what's going on in the industry out here. And certainly we support the biofuel industry, ethanol and biofuels as much as we can, and I think this is a good step to take. And I really want to voice my appreciation to everyone that has worked on this. They've done very good. Thank you very much. So.
That's what makes ag so much fun to work with. The people, we have the same goals and ideas and want to work together, so thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Senator Scoy.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure that you know, in addition to the A7 amendment, I'm moving R38, R39, and R42. Just want to be clear on the motion.
Okay. So the motion is to accept the Senate language as amended by the A7 amendment with those particular sections. Any further questions? If not, to all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Daines.
I'd like to move to the biodiesel exceptions, R36, R37, and R40.
Okay.
I'd like to move to accept the Senate's language, and on page R37, line 3530, our language reads May 1st, 2014. Move that to May 1st of 2015. So we would be doing a three-year extension.
Could you run that by us again? I didn't get my page flipped in time, Senator.
On page R37,
okay,
line 3530, currently we have in the language, moving it forward, the expiration date to May 1st of 2014. I'm asking to have the Senate language with that date move forward to 2015. So it'd be a three-year extension.
And would this apply to the number one fuel and the exemptions for those listed above, the railroads,
yes,
mining and off-road logging?
Yes.
Mr. Chair.
The entire section.
Representative Keel.
Mr. Chair, I understand that the differences in the exemptions is considerable. The Senate would like to see it be two or now three, and we have 8 years in there. And I know there's some real concerns amongst the mining industry, logging industry, the railroads, and I guess the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And I understand that's a lot of time. I wonder if the Senate would consider a five-year exemption instead of an eight.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Keel, I'll make my speech because the House members haven't heard it. Many of the members in the audience and all the senators will have heard this before. And I'm a soybean farmer, so I'm a strong advocate for biodiesel in Minnesota. But we need to develop a fuel that works in cold weather. And we are a cold weather state, and there's nothing we can do about it. And the longer we push this off, the less pressure there is on the industry to fix the issues that there are. And the more exemptions that we give, and I have opposed every one of the exemptions that are in this language, the more exemptions we give, the less impact the mandate has. It's kind of death by a thousand pinpricks. And so we're gonna go along with the 3 years, but I don't think the Senate's willing to go beyond that. I know I'm not. Because I want the industry to fix this. I want biodiesel that works for all people in Minnesota. Because if you've ever laid underneath a truck in the wintertime and change fuel filters, it's not any fun. And we're not going to give the trucking industry an exemption, I don't believe. So let's get them pushed forward and fix this. And we will have more legislative sessions in the next 3 years where if there's issues, we can work on it. But I think right now I'd not like to go beyond 3 years and let them keep working hard to fix the issues, if there are any, with biodiesel. And if they've got them fixed, then we'll be good to go in 3 years.
Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I thought that 8 years was too long to begin with, and I was thinking of, 5 years would be better. But I think 3 years would be sufficient, and that it does give time. And if there are still problems, you can make an extension of the exemptions at that point. So I would support the Senate amendment if that comes to a vote here.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senator Scoy, for being a champion on this issue. And I think all the Aggies are echoing what you say. I know Representative Keel worked extremely hard, bringing all the different parties, the interested individual stakeholders in the same room, and worked extremely hard on this issue. We had the truckers, the miners, Representative Keel. You had the forestry,
railroads
school buses. And everybody.
Yes, and the school buses school joined buses. Eventually.
Yeah, exactly. She worked extremely, extremely hard leading this through the House, and subsequently putting a bill together that we could get passed off the House. Working with the Iron Rangers and everybody, obviously. And so she did a fantastic job. And so I understand and I respect why she's such a strong advocate, not only speaking for agriculture, but speaking for everybody who had a vested interest in this. I don't want to speak for Representative Keel on this, but she also, I believe we talked about the study, the language there that we all support.
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if it would be okay if we could ask maybe the representatives from to come up and say a few words about the 3 years, if we get someone who represents the mines, if the study language is in there.
Welcome to the committee, and identify yourself, please.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. My name is Craig Pagel. I'm the president of the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota. Appreciate all the hard work you've done on this over the years. And respect the work that's been done. And I understand the concerns, and I really appreciate Representative Keel's work with us to sit down and identify why we were asking for a longer period of time. I understand the study, and I think it's something that probably could be good to do. But as far as the mines, the reason we were looking at the 8 years that maybe the Senate isn't aware of is that we are at a point right now where the expansion of the mines are at a point where buying vehicles that have to last 8 years, actually beyond 8 years. By having a 2 or 3 year extension is helpful. I appreciate that. But 5 years will get us beyond a little bit more of that. Plus, we also know the EPA is coming down with either a tier 3 or 4 requirement of vehicles we're going to have to purchase. And the senator is correct. It's not fun to crawl underneath a truck, but in these trucks, loaded are 1,000 tons. And it's not as simple of changing the fuel filters on them to where if we can get a little more help on it. We're not going to change how the whole mining industry of the world builds their engines. And by the time the tier 3 or 4, whatever we end up with, is required, we don't know what fuel they'll be running on. So I think the study would be good to identify some of that. But as we're making major purchases, $3 million a piece for these pieces of equipment, we're putting risk on that industry. And I would hope that the biodiesel industry would understand our concerns. We have no problem with the biodiesel. The problem is lots of times the blend of it and what we're receiving probably isn't up to standards. So it isn't just us simply trying to fix the problem. We need everybody's help. The study should do that. Thank you.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you. And hopefully the extension of the number one will give you some relief, Mr. Pagel. I'm here to tell you that if in 3 years we don't have biodiesel that will work in all the engines in Minnesota, I'll be carrying a bill to repeal the mandate.
Senator, I really appreciate that and your identification, the fact that you do live in northern Minnesota, that It is an awfully big state. I was told earlier this week that they were planting sugar beets, and we were shoveling out a foot of snow. So it's a big, wonderful state, and we want all of us to work together on it. And thanks again for your help.
Question to the
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And question to the testifier. You know, you've heard the testimony around here, and like I said, Senator Scoy has been a champion on this issue, and he makes extremely valid points in all this. Representative Keel's worked extremely hard finding peace in the valley, if you will, on the House side as well. Hearing the testimony, hearing the comments, and understanding the study is coming forth as well, could you support a three-year extension to where we could come to terms on this and move this thing forward?
Chair, Mr. Representative, Pagel. Senators, it'd be a lot easier if it was 5 years, I have to admit, but we do need that extension. We have major problems with the fuel, and we need to work it out somehow. So I appreciate anything we can do at this point. I'm not the only one that's been working on this, however.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just had a further question, Mr. Pagel. If you've had some trouble in the past, has that been with fuel that has not been bio?
No. I'm Chair, Senators, Representatives. I'm a little bit reluctant, but the fact is one of the mines actually had all their vehicles stop because they did get a load of B5.
And what time of the year was that?
I'm not sure when it was. That's a problem that we've experienced, and it's unfortunate. We don't want to have that happen.
No, nobody wants that.
No,
to happen.
I know.
No. Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else who would care to testify, please step forward. Welcome and identify yourselves, please.
Thank you. My name is John Appitz. I'm with the law firm of Messerly and Kramer, and we represent the Minnesota Regional Railroads Association. Our problem, the small railroads problem, is kind of on the other end of the spectrum that Mr. Pagel just spoke to, and that is the engines that we use. There are some new engines that are being tested and coming online, granted. But the engines that are used in the railroads are typically, well, the little guys in particular, can be 30, 40, and 50 years old. And these are engines that are, we hope the fuel someday, Senator Scoey, works, but the engines are probably not going to change a whole lot because they've been the way they have been for 30 and 40 and 50 years. We run these engines after we buy them from the Class 1 railroads, and we haul all variety of agricultural commodity. And we have to fuel here in Minnesota. That's where the short lines run from, around the various different places. We don't fuel out of state. We can't get the stuff from out of state, or if we can get it from out of state, you have to haul it in, adds cost, et cetera. These exemptions were in place when the law was put in place. Just a quick little bit of history. And when we made some changes a few years ago, there was the chairman who made the changes and took the exemptions and put a sunset in, said, well, if we don't have it all worked out, 4 years from now, which was the extension that the sunset that he put in place, he said, we'll come back and we'll work it out and we'll put the exemptions back in. Well, he's not here anymore, and we're here discussing this whole issue all over again. The exemptions were put in place for a reason. We pled the case at that particular time. We would hope, Senator Scoy, that the fuel would improve, and we just use it because it could be used. But at this point, to say you need to use something that doesn't necessarily work doesn't make it happen. So we hope to extend the exemption to 5 years that's being discussed here at least, and we think that would help at least our small railroad industry a bit.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Amber Backus with the firm of Leonard Street and Dinard here on behalf of Canadian Pacific Railway. We appreciate the discussion about extending the exemption and appreciate that both the House and the Senate are interested in extending it. I guess our preference would be for the 5 years as well and 3 years. State statute says that the biodiesel content mandate could go up to be 20%, and we're a long ways away from having that working in our engines. At the same time, federal regulations will be coming online where the railroads will be required to purchase new, more environmentally friendly and less reduced emission engines at that time, and we're not sure how the test, how biodiesel works in those new engines that will be coming online at that time. So at least with 5 years, we've got a couple years to see what level the mandate's going to be at in Minnesota and where the purchasing of those new engines is going to be and how that's working. So our preference would be for the 5 over the 3, and I appreciate your listening.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Scoy.
Thank you. Not a question, just a comment. You know, we have had a lot of talk and discussion about biodiesel, and I understand you guys' concern about it. From my perspective, I think that a large part of the problem that we had with our fuel in Minnesota was a result of the switch over to the ultra-low sulfur. It occurred at the same time that the biodiesel mandate came in place. Now, I don't know that for sure, but we're going to put this group together to take a run at figuring this out. And hopefully, and I don't have the date for when they're going to come back with their report. I was just trying
to... Page 38, Senator Scoy.
Whenever they're going to come back with their report, I think all of us sitting here are going to, or I certainly am committed, if there's a problem, I'm going to work with you guys to fix it. And there's no guarantee that I'm going to be here. I know that. Elections occur, and elections have consequences. And maybe that chair chose not to run for re-election. I don't know exactly how all that worked out. But somebody here will be at this table. And, you know, we've got to have fuel that works in Minnesota. And so let's give this group some time to take a look at what we have and how it works. And then when we have that information, we'll move forward and address the issues that you guys, and valid issues that you guys are bringing forward today.
Thank you, Senator. Further comment?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scobie, we do appreciate that. And I guess if the study is going to be in there, I wonder if there's any consideration to include other agencies that work with our industries beyond just having it be the Department of Agriculture deciding this, but maybe Economic Development, Transportation, and DNR.
Mr. Chair, I think the Commissioner of Commerce is involved.
What is ultimately, excuse me?
I believe it's the Next Gen Energy Board, isn't that correct, Senator Magnus?
No.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just to point out,
sure.
I would ask the members, Mr. Chairman, to turn to page R38, and I want to point out a couple of things with the a few things about the. About the report language. It's a Commissioner of Agriculture, Commissioner of Commerce, and the Biodiesel Task Force, but we're asking for two reports. And this is important, and it's important for the testifiers to hear this and the members. The 2013 report back to the legislature would I outline the steps needed, what needs to be included in the tests. And then the second report in 2014 comes back with the recommendations to do this. And so with that, with those ideas in mind, you know, I think Senator Scoy's Senator Dame's notion of moving it to 2015 then allows those reports to be done, allows them to be analyzed and worked on, and members, if it does include the language that we need to extend the exemption some years out, which it may, so be it. But if it includes language that says there's no reason to continue the exemptions, then that's the way it is too. But at least we have some justification for doing them. And that was the point that we suggested when we insisted on this language in the bill, was to have good reports and have justification for either ending exemptions, continuing them, continuing some of them, or whatever it shakes out to be. So,
to that point,
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair Magnus, as well, on those comments. And I think we all agree on the reports as well. Again, I don't want to speak for everybody, but agree on the studies and agree on the reports. It's just whether or not the other entities are comfortable with if the reports we know, if it's a 2 years or 3 years, excuse me, and the reports come out and say they indeed need additional time, we add on to it? Or do we accept the 5 years, and if the reports come out and say, no, you don't need the additional time, then we come back and lower that? And so it's, again, who do we make comfortable here? Do we make us that are big supporters of the biodiesel industry? Does the comfort lie with us and maybe a little uneasiness with the other entities? Or do we give the comfort to the other entities and then a little uneasy here on the supporters of biodiesel, if you will? And I think that's what we're debating. I think that at least the individuals that I spoke to that represent the mines and the railroads and stuff like that, they're saying, we want to do this, right? And we're wanting to get there as well. And I see a little nods of the head. And we just want to make sure that we don't run into some additional issues there. So I think everybody's trying to get to the same point. It's just, where does the comfort lie? And I think that's what Representative Keel worked extremely hard on, bringing folks together and working on the language there as well. And we recognize and support the Senate's language on the studies. We think that's fantastic, and we thank you for bringing that forward. And now it's just, the number of years and where we're going to allow that comfort to lie.
And I just received some data from somebody today that the ASTM cold weather biostandards are in progress right now. They'll be released in 6 to 8 months. Then they mentioned that there will be a series of lab testing and then a full year during which they'll go through a cold weather season to see if these field tests actually are valid. So it looks like about 3 years to run that cycle of the ASTM testing, and then some lab tests for a season, and then cold weather testing in the real world for a year. So I think 3 years for the testing is about right in terms of how long that's going to take to fully understand and vet if we do have problems with ultra-low sulfur or aromatic blends of diesel fuel. But this is a big issue. It's important for the industries you mentioned, for farming, for trucking, for everybody that relies on diesel fuel. And my stance for coming on from the House side, going down from 8 years to 5 years, is a pretty good compromise. I'm not crazy to go too much lower. Representative Keel, do you have any comments?
Well, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Scoy, I too am a soybean farmer, but I have to admit I've never been under a truck when it's 20 degrees changing oil. I leave that to my husband. Although I have been under a beet lifter digging out dirt, it's not much fun. But, you know, in retrospect to all of this, I really, when I look at all of this, I think that we need to support the industry as a grower. And I think that we can come to a good product that would be excellent for all. And if that happens to be, and I make the same commitment that Senator Scoy does, that if I'm here, I certainly will work very hard on an exemption for those industries that it's difficult for. But maybe in the light of certainly the industry, but in an agreement here and conciliation, that maybe we should work toward the 3 years of with the exemptions and also work on the study. I like the study very much. I appreciate the fact that we work hard on. I think Senator Magnus and I talked about the fact that we not only have to have studies within an office within a laboratory, but that we all also need to have those real world studies that we know when it's 20 below outside blowing, that it actually doesn't freeze up and cause us trouble, or that it is the other issues that biodiesel can have. So I think it's a great product, and I think it will be great for our state. So I guess I'm willing to compromise on the three if that's satisfactory with the rest of the members.
More. Any other testimony? Welcome, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Scott Hedrick. I'm Director of Corporate Affairs for Renewable Energy Group. We're the company that owns and operates a 30 million gallon biodiesel plant in Albert Lea. For folks who might not be familiar with it. It was the old Soymore facility that we actually helped build years ago and acquired last year. I appreciate the work that's been done. I understand that you know, this is not only a technical issue, it's an emotional issue. Certainly from our industry's perspective, we think in terms of a compromise, 3 years is ideal. And if I could just for a second, I'll talk to that. I think it's important when you look at categories of users, we think about who they are, what they do, and where they're located, and we realize that not every user is the same. Certainly I understand the surface mining and timber folks' concerns when you think about where they're located in the state, how they operate, how they handle their fuel. There's some real world concerns there. And in terms of infrastructure, they don't have the same kind of infrastructure in place that other users of biodiesel do. And therefore, I think their concerns in terms of how cold weather would affect the handling and use of the material is appropriate. What I would say is that as an industry, 3 years ago, we were under about 500 million gallons nationwide. Last year, we produced as an industry over 1.1 billion gallons. We are on a development path to have 2 billion gallons of production probably within the next 3 to 4 years. As we grow in size and scope, the industries that support our industry grow in size and scope. If you ask industry folks, there was not a lot of work done on additives for biodiesel in the past. There has been today. I think that you'll see, and if I could, I'll talk about it in a second, with respect to the number one cold flow issues, a number of products that are coming on the marketplace that will address those. And we feel as an industry that data and those products will be available within 3 years. Which is why that time frame seems like a rational compromise. When you look at railroads, I'd like to point out that today in Canada, there's a requirement nationwide to use B2 biodiesel. That does not exempt or waive any industry, including rail, so that product is in use today. I'd also like to point out in Illinois and in Texas, our industry is aware that most of the major class ones that service those states are using between a B5 and a B11 blend. The National Biodiesel Board published a meta-study of 26 individual studies of railroad usage. That study is available online. That looked at engines anywhere from 30 years old to 2 years old. Looked at engine wear, tear, usage, found no problems. And in fact, I think there's an irony here. As EPA requires increased emissions controls in railroad engines, railroads, especially the smaller ones, are going to have a couple options, either buy new equipment or find other ways to mitigate their emissions. The biodiesel study that I referenced that looked at older engines showed that the use of biodiesel at a B10 and B20 rate reduced those emissions on par and similar to if you had bought a new engine within the last 5 to 10 years. So not only does the product work, not only does it work today, not only does it work in a large variety of applications, it's going to work tomorrow. With respect to the number one issue in cold flow, real valid concerns there. Number one is chemically a little bit different than number two, ULSD. That's why the Minnesota Biodiesel Task Force asked 2 years ago for work and study to be done. That's why the Minnesota soybean growers helped provide funds. That's why the National Biodiesel Board helped provide funds to start a study last year. In a perfect world, that study would be done. It's not. We certainly expect it to be done by the end of this year. I was told today by our folks, so take it with a grain of salt because I work for the biodiesel industry, that the validation round of all that testing is done. So where they are is basically collecting samples and then doing the work and actually doing the cold flow proving work this winter. So from a hard data standpoint, you know, we feel there's a lot of good data out there that shows it works today. With respect to some of the questions that were raised, we think that data is going to come back sooner than later. I'll join the chorus that says if that data doesn't come back sooner than later, then we have every reason as a biodiesel industry to come back here with the folks who've raised concerns, to sit down with them, and as they say, we either need a permanent exemption or a longer-term exemption to do that. But if you ask me today, am I confident that we're going to have data, answers, and solutions for folks within 3 years? I think we will. Am I confident that it's going to make my industry happy across the board? No. I think we're going to find out some things that we need to do from a manufacturing standpoint, from a production standpoint, that are going to be different if we want to be in the number one market. But But the data is going to be the data, and we should let that kind of determine where we go in terms of how the product is used.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from members of the committee?
To the motion?
Well, to the testimony. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just add, I too do not enjoy changing fuel filters. And 2 years ago, we had a late fall, a wet fall, a cold fall, and there was a lot of issues with filter plugging. And I would have to say that these past 2 years since then, we haven't had a real cold fall, I would also grant you, but the issues have totally decreased. And as tanks are cleaned up, whatever, we learned how to handle these things better. The number of problems has really gone down dramatically. So hopefully that indicates that the fuel is getting better and the standards are becoming higher, and it's just a better fuel. I think it is.
To that point.
Senator Scully.
You know, Mr. Chair, the other thing I think is happening is, I know for our farm specifically, our bulk dealer is every other transport now. He puts additive in for us, and it's helped. I mean, we don't have near the problem that we used to have with the black stuff in the fuel filters. Yep. The black stuff in the fuel filters is because there's no sulfur in it to kill that bacteria, and so we're adding this additive. So we're learning how to work with it. It's getting better, and I agree with you. Our problems are being diminished, and yep. Hopefully, you know, we're going to be able to utilize this as a good homegrown Midwest produced fuel.
Mr. Chair, just for clarification, I want to point out that my motion does also include Section 66, which is the reporting and the studies that are to be done. That's that's included in my motion.
Just for clarity.
Yeah.
So run that by us one more time, Senator Daines. What does your motion include?
The motion would be to accept the Senate language on page 37, number 3530, that line extended to 2015, and also include section 66, which extends on page 37 through onto page 38 through line 3616.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr.
we do have a technical issue. Right now on 35.31, on both sides, it says that this section is effective April 1, 2012. Would have been great if we had done this in March, and that would have worked. The key here is we have to get it before May 1st of this year, otherwise this would expire. And I think given the timeline that we're on right now, I think we could safely put in this section is effective the day following final enactment, rather than putting a retroactive effective date in there, because that's at least 10 days away, and I'm assuming and the governor only has three days, unless you want to pass this on the last day of adjournment or something, the last 3 days before adjournment. I'm assuming, so we could probably do the day following final enactment would be better.
Can you handle that as a technical?
Well, Mr. Chair, I would just include that as part of the motion.
Okay.
And I'll accept that, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Senator Daines accepts that as part of his motion.
3531. So the day of final enactment.
The day following final enactment.
Yeah. 35.31 enactment is the effective date the day after final enactment. Is what the full motion reads. This is a key provision. Any other comments by members of the committee?
To the amendment?
Yes.
To the amendment, I just once again want to thank Representative Keel for her hard work, I know, in the House and working with everybody else. And to the individuals in attendance and whatnot, you understand the commitment and dedication from Representative Keel as well. Listening to, you know, we had, again, the farmers. She is a soybean grower. The farmers, the railroads, the truckers, the miners, the forestry, and everybody else. So I guess I probably shouldn't, but I am speaking for Representative Keel. She does have your best interests in mind. I hope you know and understand that. So thank you for your hard work. And like I said, being a soybean grower and everything else, to reach out to all the vested people with vested interest says a lot about you and your character. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So we'll, Senator Magnus. Senator Dames. Did you have?
No, I have no more.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay, so we will vote. All those in favor of Senator Dames' motion on the biofuel, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign?
No.
Motion is approved. Well, my fellow chairman, we have one item left, don't we? We saved the best till last.
Oh, yes.
I believe we had as we left off this morning, we were discussing the mental health counseling grant, and Representative Hamilton had a motion. Would you care to renew that motion?
What was that motion? That motion was, lost my amendment.
An amendment, yes.
Yep. You got an amendment. A28.
It's the A28 amendment.
I will renew my motion to pass the A28 amendment. I can't find it here. Oh, here it is. Pass the A28 amendment. I don't know if there's any additional questions. I'd stand for questioning unless we want to bring the testifiers up again.
Yeah. Senator Magnus.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to have the department come up and testify on this provision.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture. Speaking on, Mr. Chairman, the A28 amendment, Mr. Chairman and Chairman Magnus, Chairman Hamilton, the Department of Agriculture supports this provision in the House bill, and we support this amendment. It's our understanding that there are farm families out there who have sought mental health recovery assistance from Lutheran Social Services. The Commissioner of Agriculture did sign a contract with Lutheran Social Services in 2010, pertaining to the 2010 flood, I should say. We see this as a continuation to provide assistance in terms of mental health recovery to the farm families that are in need. And Mr. Chairman, just as a point of information for the question that I believe Senator Dames raised this morning as well, it's our understanding that sometimes in a disaster recovery process, the mental health issues don't surface for 12 to 18 months after the actual incident because there's so many other more pressing needs, and then finally the full impact of the disaster comes to rest after a period of months. So that's kind of a reason why we may still be seeing some of these from disasters that happened in calendar 2011 may still have some needs arising out there into the future. We just want to make sure that farmers in need get the help that they need, Mr. Chairman.
And it's your understanding that this is not new funding?
Mr. Chairman, it is our position that this is not new funding. From our standpoint, the contract with Lutheran Social Services, which the commissioner signed, I believe, in 2011, encumbered that money from our standpoint, Mr. Chairman. However, I do understand that Minnesota Management and Budget has an accounting rule that necessitates the language in this amendment here, and we're fine with that.
Question from Representative Eakin.
I just wanted to make a comment in favor of the motion or the amendment, representing an area that deals with flooding on almost annual basis. And many years we're facing this situation. I've seen firsthand the stress that a lot of people are under and the mental, mentally how that negatively affects people. And there is a real need for this funding. And since it's already been allocated for this purpose, it makes perfect sense that this should be made available to all people who are going through stressful situations like this throughout the state. So.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Ms. Gauthier. I just want to be sure I heard you right. The department is supportive of this provision.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Skoy, yes, the department supports this position.
Thank you.
Senator Magnus, any other
questions? Mr. Chairman, I worked with you and with Chairman Hamilton quite a bit about this. I appreciate your efforts working with this. The department's for it. The MMB has clarified this for us. It'll help us in our discussions with our folks. I don't have a problem with the motion. So,
Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair, I would just like to thank the testifiers for answering my questions this morning and this afternoon, clarifying it, and I, too, will support the amendment and support this portion of the bill.
Okay. So we have to act on the amendment, the A-28 amendment from Representative Hamilton. All those in favor of adopting the A-28 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Now we have to add this to the...
Yes.
Representative Hamilton.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move the House language on page R40 through R41, beginning on lines 32.17.
Would be the amended
that
language.
As amended.
Yes. So on your side-by-side, it would be R40 and R41. The main body at the top of R41 would be the new amended language with just that one minor change there. So all in favor of adopting the House language as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Magnus.
I think one more motion we need is to adopt the same and similar and have the staff work out the language for same and similar. You know, as we mentioned earlier, this word and that word may be a little different, but by making this a motion then allows the staff to do that and take care of these technical things, and then we'll have it ready to go to the floors.
So all in favor of the motion by Senator Magnus to clean up the language, the
same and similar
language, yeah, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Well, members, thank you very much. It was been a pleasure working with all of you.
We need to approve the bill.
You need to approve the whole thing now.
No, you don't.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move we approve the conference report as amended. I think that's it.
Motion by Chairman Magnus to approve our conference report. All those in favor, say aye.
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 And opposed? The motion is passed. Now I can say thank you to all the conference members, and thank you to you audience members, too, for helping us out today, getting through some issues that needed to have some more work and discussion. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Paul.
And again, to Senator Magnus, capping off a great career here in St. Paul, we want to thank you so much.
Thank you. And I had a speech prepared. There's that country song out I've been singing, and it's called Adios and Vaya con Dios. That's what we're doing. Beat the sand. Yeah. Thank you very much, everybody. Really appreciate it.
Again, thank you, everybody, and the meeting is adjourned.